What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. I'm reading a story breaking down the cornerback competition for the Houston Texans, Lance. And what do we expect out of this? Bradley Roby just signed a 3-year, $36 million deal. Gary Conley is in the last year because they didn't pick up that fifth-year option. They brought back Vernon Hargraves, Phillip Gaines, John Reed, Keon Crossan, Lonnie Johnson. What I see is a lot of unproven. Bradley Roby, I thought, played pretty well last year. He deserves. He got his $12 million a year deal. That's fine. I don't know. Do you have issue with it at all?
No, not really.
No.
What are you going to do?
Yeah. I mean,
who do you have?
He was the best guy. He was your best guy. He's taken over a leadership role. He must practice pretty well.
I'm a little concerned that there was issues. Look, from a personality standpoint, he hasn't gotten A-plus check marks, I'll tell you that. Not pre-draft, not in Denver. I don't know that it was always the case here either. So I don't know that he's the typical all-in Texan that they kind of look for. So that's just something to keep an eye on.
Well, if Bill O'Brien gave him 3 years, $36 million, the dude goes to practice. Okay? I mean, Bill O'Brien couldn't have issues with him because it's all about culture here.
Yeah. So, well, once he has his money, you have to still get along, and we'll see how he does with Bill O'Brien. He's got to play well. He played well this year. He's got to play well in the future. I'll tell you, the concern right now that I'm hearing whispers about is Lonnie Johnson, about whether or not Bill O'Brien and his crew think that Brian Gain missed with Lonnie Johnson. That's supposedly the concern, is that they may not be all in on Lonnie Johnson. Now, he's only had it 1 year, so to me, that's way too early. And if you had alignment with the draft, which I know that was the case during the draft, that was the case last year. They were aligned with the draft, quote unquote, in that draft, the 2019 draft. Then that's a little surprising. I guess you could still not be happy with Lonnie Johnson. I thought Lonnie Johnson had some real concerns. He had great physical measurements. It didn't surprise me that the Texans liked him because he had the height, weight, and decent speed. But he's very big, very strong. I think he may be better suited at safety. He doesn't have great instincts. He didn't have great ball skills. That's going to be an issue, and it was my issue in college. He gave up a bunch of touchdowns where he's right there, able to make a play, but just doesn't see the football with his back to the ball. And so that's a real cornerbacking problem. If you're in a press, if you're in a press man defensive scheme, which he is, you got to be able to find the football and make plays. And he gave up like 5 touchdowns all right there in his face where the ball's just, could have been batted down. He just didn't find the football. So I don't know. Like I said, there's whispers that the Texans are a little concerned that they already feel like he's not going to be the guy. I think he could end up getting a look at safety, though, because he's big and strong, and maybe they use him as a modified nickel, a big nickel safety right there in the slot against 3-wide teams, and where he can bang on people, just cover. Do what Tayshaun Gibson was supposed to do, which is cover tight ends and help.
How about tight ends? That's what I was going to say. Yeah. I mean, he's big enough to cover tight ends.
What's that?
He's big enough to cover
absolutely,
tight ends.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%.
Yeah. I mean, that might be his That might be his deal is that he's going to be able to take that tight end out of the slot, which everybody is doing now. Everybody's got themselves a tight end that they love. So Conley, I guess, is the starter on the other side, I'm guessing. Will Conley be the starter for the majority of the game? Let's say every game he's healthy, will Conley start at the other corner?
I would say, I think so. I don't see who else it would be. Unless he fails miserably, yeah, I think he will be. Who else could it be?
Well, we'll see. John Reed, we'll see.
I mean, John Reed is a slot corner only. I know the Texans said they thought he could play inside, outside. He can't. He's not an outside corner. As far as it's not going to be Crawford, probably. It's not going to be Keon Crossan. He's going to be more of depth and more special teams.
Vernon Hargraves,
yeah,
Philip Gaines.
I guess. Yeah, I mean, Philip Gaines is actually the guy that could be the wild card. I think Philip Gaines could be the wild card because he does have some starting experience out there. So maybe Philip Gaines. I'm looking right now at you got Conley, Lonnie Johnson, Bradley Roby. Those are your top three corners right now. And then you have Philip Gaines, Vernon Hargraves, Keon Crossan, Cornell Armstrong. You know what? I don't even see Xavier Crawford, who was the draft pick in 2019. I don't even see him on the list here. I know he's still on the
team. Anthony Chesley?
Oh, man. Who could forget Anthony Chesley?
Right. So
who could forget the great Anthony Chesley? They've got more safeties than they do corners, really, to be honest with you. Guys who can play.
Yeah.
Michael Thomas, A.J. Moore, Eric Murray, Jalen Watkins, Justin Reed. I feel like we're missing one.
What team has more safeties than corners?
Texans.
Yeah. That's weird.
I mean, technically, there's eight corners I see on the roster right now for the Texans, seven safeties. But I'm talking about guys who might be able to step in and get some starting reps. There's probably one, two, three, four, five vying for that, realistically.
Yeah. Man, and then I'm reading this article, and it says, and then there's another article that's talking about, where did it go? Oh, there's another article in here. Whitney Mercilus remains an underrated defender. And it said how 2 years ago in 2018, when Whitney Mercilus and was here with Clowney, they put Whitney into coverage a bunch, which was why he only had four sacks. And then, however, when they moved him back to the edge after Clowney's departure, it was night and day of a difference. He had 7.5 sacks, 16 QB hits, 9 tackles for loss, 4 forced fumbles, a fumble recovery, and 2 interceptions last season in his contract year. Mercilus sacks led the team. And his 2 interceptions ranked second on the team.
This is when you use data and you have just enough information to form a thesis and a narrative on a guy that is not you need to have watched more. They're not wrong with the year before when they asked him to drop in coverage, and really he was playing like a 4-3 linebacker spot for a lot of the time. He was playing off the ball. That's not wrong. They had him playing out of position. And he did get off to a good start when he moved back down. There's no question about that. But it fizzled out so abruptly that if you don't take into account his lack of effectiveness the last half of the season.
Not the last half, the middle. Because he finished strong again with a couple of sacks late. But he went 9 games with a half a sack.
Yeah.
9 straight games with a half a sack.
Yep.
It was just he disappeared. Just disappeared.
And that's the worst possible time for him to do this is during a contract year, because the Texans just bought in and said we'd rather deal with this and not deal with this, when I think the reality is there are some positions you'd rather look. Whitney is a safe player. He really is. He's high character, works hard, he's what you want in the locker room. He does have some ability to do multiple things on defense. I just don't know that he is a voracious pass rusher that you want to throw a bunch of money at over multiple years.
Well, no, and that it prohibits you from going out and getting a pass rusher. $54 million over 4 years for a guy with – they're making – he had 7.5 sacks, 16 QB hits, 9 tackles. For. They're making this sound like these are good numbers.
They're all right.
16 QB hits. He should have 16 sacks if he's your number one guy for $54 million, not 16 QB hits.
Well,
I mean,
so he's had 18. Yeah, I mean, in 2013, he had 18 QB hits and 7 sacks. If we're going to use those two, 18 QB hits and 7 sacks in 2013, his second year in the league. His best year in the league, he had 16 QB hits and 12 sacks. And that was with 10 starts out of 16 games, but he was the primary rusher. That's in 2015. He had 22 quarterback hits and 7.5 sacks after that in 2016, and that was Whitney Merciless in his prime. Then he hurt his knee in 2017. First year back from knee injury, 14 QB hits and 4 sacks. Last year, 16 QB hits and 7.5 sacks. So if you're being fair about the numbers, you can say, okay, these numbers are basically the same as 2013 and the same as 2015 and 16. I think the one area that we both have concerns with is how do you go into a lull for that long? That's a long lull. And if you watch him, if you isolate it on him, there's some snaps where I want to see. So I always say that a pass rush engagement between an offensive lineman and a defensive lineman, and really any engagement, run block, pass block, you have phase one, phase two, phase three. Phase one is the initial get off by the pass rusher, or in the case of the offensive tackle, for example, what his kick set looks like, what his slide looks like to get in a position so that he can keep the pass rusher centered. So that's the initial phase of engagement, what the engagement's going to look like, who has the advantage. Phase two is where the skill takes place. How do you can you convert with your skill and your hands and everything to turn it into a pressure or a hit? Can you get the best of the offensive tackle, or can the offensive tackle get the best of you to keep you in place? And then phase three is the finish. To me, Whitney Merciless, when I watch him, really, really is hit or miss with that phase two, where I don't see him convert from phase two to phase three enough on a consistent enough basis. That's how I judge pass rushers, that you can get past the guy in front of you. Like, Jadeveon Clowney is not a great phase three pass rusher. He's good at phase one and phase two, but he doesn't convert into sacks, which is phase three. And with Whitney, I don't even think he's a consistent phase two pass rusher. That's my biggest problem. And when you have that, then you just have a guy. And I think he's just kind of a guy. And I don't think you pay this kind of money to somebody that you can find on other teams. I'm not saying he's bad. I just think that contract, and this is something we've said all off season, that contract is a little heavier than it should be, either in years or amount. It just is.
It is. No, for his production, it's he's overpaid. That's all there is to it. He's overpaid.
You remember when, and I have to go back and look at the exact, but you remember when Brooks Reed felt like a good, not great pass rusher, and the Texans and Rick Smith let him walk, and you know what? It was the right thing. And
yeah,
he was going into a second contract, and Whitney was going into contract three. But it was the right thing to let Brooks Reed. It was the right thing to let Connor Barwin go. I didn't love it, but I understood it. I understood what Rick was doing there, because they didn't. You knew you were about to overpay, and Rick didn't want to overpay. This team has a lot less. They're a lot less concerned about overpaying.
Yeah. Oh, really? Oh, really, Lance?
Yeah. That's something I've surmised.
$27 million for Randall Cobb. Really? $13 million for David Johnson.
But John, you know, you got to give him credit. Whitney Merciless has played, other than the year he wrecked his knee in 2017. He's only missed 2 games other than that during his career. I mean, he actually shows up. He's been dependable, durable. There's a lot of things to really like about him. I think he is solid, but I don't think you give this money to Solid. And they did the same thing with Nick Martin. The Texans want guys who they can, who they feel like are dependable and solid and smart and good in the locker room, and that's all fine. But you got to be careful about making too many of those exceptions when you're paying, when you're just getting extra, you're getting extra suitcases out to stuff the money in for Laremy Tunsil and soon to be Deshaun Watson. Those guys are the ones who usually you start getting rid of the Whitney Mercilesses so you can afford to pay the Deshaun Watsons. That's what's a little strange about this.
Yeah. Dom Capers used to tell me, he used to say it all the time. He said, I'd rather have a guy who ran a 4.5 every time than a guy that runs a 4.2 every once in a while.
Right.
And then 4.6. I'd much rather have a guy who runs 4.5 every single
time.
Well,
is that Whitney Merciless, though?
No, he's probably a guy who runs a 4.6 every time, 4.7 every time. And that's the same with Nick Martin. But he's solid. He's there every time, and he does it every time, and he's solid, 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 solid. He's just not spectacular. Just not spectacular. And Whitney Mercilus is not spectacular. You can't go 9 weeks with a half a sack in the middle of the season. You just can't. You can't have that big a lull. You have to impact games more than that. Now, he had what did he have, two or three games where he had multiple sacks? No, I think two games he had multiple sacks.
Early on, yeah.
No, one early and one late, I'm pretty sure. It's not in front of me. But when four of your, over half of your sacks came in two games, that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing.
Okay, no, it's not a good thing, but I'm looking at his contract right now. The out on the Whitney Mercilus contract does come. I will give the Texans some credit for this. The out does come after 2021. So after 2021, you get into negative, or you get, it's, yeah, so his cap hit would be $14.5 million, and the dead cap amount would be $3.1 million. So you still have dead cap you have to eat. You still will have to eat the dead cap amount of $3.1 million. So, but this year, I mean, it's, you know, $27 million dead cap. After, so 2020 and 2021, he's locked in. He's going to lock in, and the cap hit is $12 million. Then it goes to $14.5 million in 2022. So they can either renegotiate or potentially cut. You're still going to take, I would say, if it was really constructed properly, you'd be closer to zero on the dead cap. In this particular instance, you'd have to take a $3.1 million cap hit, but you might have an out there in 2022.
He'll be 31 in a couple of years after this. And you're going to redo him?
Well, why not just do a, I mean, I don't know. Why not just do a three-year deal?
A three-year deal
would likely to earn 2 years. I guess you could say, and they did four likely to earn two, but I think you know, I don't want to nitpick. I think they could have done the deal better, but $12 million a year is a lot to get for.
So he had two sacks in his first game and two sacks in his second to last game. And then the rest of the season, 3.5 sacks. the other 14 games.
Who are those teams? Sacks.
He against Tampa in week one,
ugh.
And against Jacksonville, and they didn't play Tampa in week one. What the hell?
Tampa in week 16, wasn't it?
That's week 16. That's right. It goes the other way. Tampa they played in week 16. He had two sacks, and then he had in week two against Jacksonville, he had two sacks.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's too big a lull. Over 14 games, he had 3.5 sacks. That's, you know, it's great. He had 7.5 sacks total. That's not $54 million. That's just not. It's just not $54 million. 818 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. That's not the go solution, Lance.
No, that's my friends over at TGS Insurance, and the holding company is Go Solution. And TGS Insurance. So yesterday I did some. Minor cord cutting, and actually I was exploring different ways to cut our costs as a family. But I've already done the homeowner's insurance thing. See, this was something that I learned way back, is that one of the best ways to cut costs for your home without cutting your service, which is extremely hard to do, is go with TGS Insurance. If you text the word money to 232323, what they do is they start to search all of these A-rated homeowners insurance companies, you'll give them your address. They'll ask for it after you text money to 232323. And then they come back with a very firm quote from an A-rated homeowners insurance company, because they've got all the algorithms set up. I mean, on the back end, they aggregate these companies, and companies will fight for your business, and that you're going to find that you get very competitive rates. If you stay with the same company over and over and over, they have no competition. They know they can raise your rates year after year after year. And just like my parents found out when I told them to take a look at their bill, it will have gone up $500-$600 over the course of a decade very easily. You can save on average $900 annually with my friends over at TGS Insurance. Simply text the word money to 232323. And even if you've already paid for the entire year, they can get you your prorated amount back, and you can flip to one of their A-rated insurance companies as soon as today. TGSinsurance.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Damn. I don't know. We're playing today anyway. It doesn't look like, hey, the skies look clearer. But one of my buddies who, we were going to go to his club, he doesn't feel good, so he's going to go get tested. So now what am I going to do? With no golf right now set up anyway. I don't know. 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in. I know you guys. Do you feel bad for me or what? I got no comment.
I don't
want
to speak for Dell. I think Dell probably does feel bad for you a little bit. I probably feel less bad for you.
What if Dell told me, hey, I can't take a nap today? I got to run around. I got to get my car fixed. I got to do this. I got to do that. Huh. And I would feel bad for him that he can't get his nap in.
How about that storm we had yesterday? Holy
crap.
Did
you get hit by lightning or not?
I almost did.
I was worried for when in the 10 o'clock hour when you were beating it, it was loud. I mean loud yesterday. And I was worried for you. But Dell said he was sitting in there. Dell, he was okay. He was safe.
Yeah. He was actually negotiating his DirecTV bill.
Yeah. Oh, how'd that work out for you?
I heard the stuff. I didn't see it. So I actually got it down about $95 a month. Pretty big deal.
$95 a month.
Yeah.
DirecTV.
Yeah.
You mean you reduced it by $95 a month?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait a minute. How much are you paying for DirecTV?
Dabbed, by the way, to celebrate.
Oh, I was paying a lot, like $270.
Wait a minute. A month or a year?
A year?
What are you talking about?
No, he was paying $270 a month.
Oh, no. Oh, $270 a month. Oh, yeah. That's about what I'm paying.
That's insane. I remember when cable bills used to be like $55, $60. Yeah, that's insane. I'm like, I ain't paying this anymore. This is ridiculous. And so I made a switch. I dropped down. This lady from Chicago, of all places, in the call center was helped me with some stuff. I mean, I negotiated some things and got it down. Now, what I did lose is I lost my HBO, and I lost a lot of my movie channels. Now, that hurt. For me, this is my first bit of cord cutting that I've ever done. But to save $90-plus dollars a month was a pretty big deal. With my cell phone service, I was able to basically pay the exact amount but switch to a different plan where it was an even better plan because, they hook up people who have already been, what I'm saying?
You have to commit for 2 years?
Yeah, I get HBO Max. No, I didn't have to lock in at that, but I get HBO Max. HBO Max is their new streaming device, and so I just basically have to teach my wife to – she doesn't – sometimes she'll cruise through movie channels and check them out, but she's watching – 6 feet under right now on HBO. So I had to show her, instead of using the HBO Go app on the Apple TV, we use the HBO Max now. I showed her, I downloaded it, and we use that. That's got literally everything they've ever done. I think from Cinemax too, or Showtime, I don't know. Everything that HBO owns, 30,000 movies or 30,000 shows are on this app now. So I showed her. I said, look, we're just going to start using this. Yeah, it sucks we don't get real-time HBO the way that we had previously.
Right. I never use it.
But whatever we want to watch is on is on here anyway. We just have to get used to watching it different.
So I got all – I think I still got all the stuff, which I need to go and get rid of it. But yesterday I watched – last night we watched – have you guys heard of Laurel Canyon?
Yep. You mean the movie from years ago?
No. It's a two-part documentary. And it was – if you are into music history, Buffalo Springfield, there were so many – good bands in there. It's where Jackson Browne started.
Mitchell. I've heard about this doc. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really, really good. I mean, it's all of them recounting what Laurel Canyon was like, all the drugs, all the mamas and the papas, Mama Cass Elliott.
There weren't any drugs there.
Linda Ronstadt, Steve Martin was part of it. Harrison Ford. It's really, really a neat and cool doc. If you're into music history, I mean, long time. It's basically where the Eagles started.
Where'd you find it?
On Epics.
Yeah. Is that just on your TV?
Yeah, it's on my TV.
I have to see and if I get that channel anymore. I don't know anymore.
Right. You probably don't now.
If I don't, I probably have an app somewhere. I don't know.
It's the first thing I've ever watched on it. They've got some other stuff that I might check out. But it's really neat. I just love that hippie era. And they had behind-the-scenes look at Woodstock and... and when the Stones played with the Hells Angels, they had some great footage of that as well.
Yeah, what was the deal with that one again? The Hells Angels, did they start messing people up?
Well, the Stones didn't know. They said Stones didn't know any better. And there were some people from Laurel Canyon were like from California that were like, dude, what are you doing, Stones? You don't get the Hells Angels to protect you. That's not the way you go about this. And sure enough, four people died. Because they got into confrontations with the Hells Angels, and the Hells Angels did not fool around. So that was just a disaster. Oh, and holy crap, Charlie Manson had ties to Laurel Canyon, and some of his crew, and I had no idea. But the reason that Roman Polanski's house with Sharon Tate in it. They picked that house was because it was a music producer. Charles Manson tried to become a singer with the girls in the background, and he played guitar, and this guy refused him and said, nah, we're not interested in getting beat it. And that's why Charles Manson chose that house, because it was his house, but he was renting it to Roman Polanski.
Oh, but that's why he chose it. That's why Charlie looked like house. He'd be a great singer.
Charlie does.
Manson
wouldn't
really
looks
like
Charlie
he'd
Manson,
be, yeah.
instead of being a mass murderer, that he was like a rock star. Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah. I mean, that is interesting. That what are the two things you can do in your life? You think that at the high school there was that, you have your, what are they called? Your
aptitude test?
Yeah, the aptitude test.
Or most likely to?
Yeah, and then, okay, so it looks like
what
rocker
is Charles like?
Or sociopath. Okay, you're not the first one for this, Charles. Don't get upset. Either rocker or murderous sociopath, although I know technically he wasn't a murderer, blah, blah, blah. Save it.
It's one of those sliding door scenarios, that movie that came out with Gwyneth Paltrow where – if she got home later, she wouldn't have seen her boyfriend cheating on her. But since she got home at a certain time, they just run through two scenarios of her life. This is a Charles Manson scenario. Like if he was seen as a potential rock star, all these other people wouldn't have died. But since, I feel like Charlie would have found a way to, develop a cult. If he had the power of a music background, the music popularity, you tell me he wouldn't, hey, ladies. I've got something for you to do. I feel like he still might have done that.
You do?
Yes.
I don't know. I thought he might have maybe he wouldn't, go killing people if he was a rock star.
I feel like he would have had even more control over people.
I've got a documentary for you to watch in that vein. It's called Dig. It's been one of my favorite documentaries for a long time. It was a lot of fun. So it follows the Dandy Warhols. This is from the early 2000s. The Dandy Warhols, who did some songs that you probably have heard of, they were on tour with a group called the Brian Jonestown Massacre. And they were filming this, and it was a documentary, and they were two, like, friends. They were bands. The bands were friends, but the Dandy Warhols were more serious about having a career and moving on. And the Brian Jonestown Massacre was a complete bleep show. And their lead singer was a complete lunatic. And there's video footage of him kicking fans in the face, just fighting his own band members on stage. I'm telling you, this doc, Dig, it's D-I-G exclamation point. And it follows the, and you get to see their paths as bands. Like, imagine that, as Brian, as the Dandy Warhols move forward and their career starts to take off in this doc, the Brian Jonestown Massacre is like, what a bunch of sellouts. Like, yeah, I just don't feel like they're selling out so much as not kicking their fans in the face and fighting each other.
Well, they're not punk rock. The Dandy Warhols, more information that I shouldn't have, but I do. If you've ever watched that show, Veronica Mars, they are the band who claimed, who, that's their song that is the theme song to that show. That's the only song I've ever
Which
heard.
Which song
them.
Is it?
The theme song to the show. The one that opens with the
it's
opening credits.
It's not one
credits.
Of their songs they wrote.
They didn't write it specifically for the show. Oh, okay. The creator decided he was going to use them for the theme show, for the theme song. We Used to Be Friends.
Oh, yeah.
Name
that's
song.
How I was thinking it probably was.
Uh-oh. It's just a shame.
I didn't
Sharon
think they
Tate.
Were singing Heroin is so
it's
passe.
It's a shame that, no. that Sharon Tate caught it. She was hot.
You think, is that the only reason it's a shame?
Well, yeah. It's a shame.
So you value human life on the basis of hotness?
Don't answer. John. Objection, Your Honor. Leading the witness.
I mean,
you're
I'm
welcome,
just,
John.
I'm just going off of previous information John, and previous
I'm
statements.
Act as your, I'm going to act as your lawyer. For when Dell tries to lead the witness, I'll have objections.
I asked the question because previous statements would lead me. He led me to that question.
Your Honor, I'll let it stand. Yeah. I'll also be the judge. I'll let it stand.
Yeah.
Go ahead and answer the question.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Well, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious. 832 ESPN. Well,
there it is.
973-780-3776. Let's talk about my boy Jeff Aronoff over at Absolute Marble and Granite. Big job. What do you got? You got a big job? Let's go. If you're looking for a guy who can put in entire counters for you, if you're looking for a guy, after the flood, he said he was going and people were redoing entire family rooms, and the, you know, and they would do it with cabinets and counters and where the kids had playrooms, and he was doing that as well. Outdoor patios with all the granite and tile and all the stone and everything else that you could possibly need for an outdoor kitchen. He does that too. And the entire outdoor kitchen. And what they're doing now with outdoor kitchens is unbelievable. And he's got all of the, he's got the books that you look through and you can pick, you know, what exactly that you want to get done. He's got all the books for all the granite and all the countertops that you want to get done, all the vanities that you want to get done. It's got to be a big job. He ain't coming over and doing something small. It's got to be a big job. But listen, no matter what you need redone, dude does it. Your kitchen, your family rooms, your fireplace, your outdoor, whatever it is that you need done, Jeff Aronoff is here for you. It's 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. 20% off for 97.5 listeners because you're a 97.5 listener. He loves us. So let's go. 713-880-2822.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
You know, I kind of feel like this is admirable. I mean, it really kind of is.
Playing
Trevor
the Dandy
Ariza
Warhols
says,
coming back into the show.
Is
yes, admirable by Dell?
Oh, nice. Way to go, Dell. Portland Trailblazer forward Trevor Ariza is opting out of participating in the NBA's Orlando restart. he is in a custody. He's in a custody battle with his over his 12-year-old son, and his mother. The mother's decision to grant a court-ordered one-month visitation period during the league's quarantine of teams in Orlando, Florida, led Ariza to choose his parenting responsibilities over competing with the Blazers. So he could lose between $1 million and $1.8 million in salary because he's not going to play. Now, it's not as if kids aren't expensive enough. At any point, and I laud him for this, but at any point is he going to go, man, what the hell did I do? I just, this kid's costing me $1.8 million to spend a month with him.
I'm going to tell you why I'm going to say no. I think Trevor has enough money based on his on his background in terms of his salary and stuff that this Trevor probably is not really in love with coming back. Look, this is just you're really interrupting your vacation to go inconvenience yourself a little bit and to be wiped out of the playoffs and then you go back. You know what I mean? If they were a 2 seed, I bet it would be different. If they were a 4 seed, I bet it would be different.
Yeah.
But not now.
Right. Listen, if we were going to make the play, if we're for sure making the playoffs, kid, sorry. Whatevs. You know what? I'll see you when you're 13.
Whatevs.
Have you ever noticed with John, there's a lot of if-then statements. In the coding world, at least back in the old Apple IIe days, there's the if-thens. So if you are hot, then
your life matters.
You proceed. Yeah, you proceed in one direction.
Yes.
If not, there's another. It fork. There's a fork in the road.
Yeah.
The if-then string with John also is, and I'm not saying I disagree here, John. If we got a chance to go deep in the playoffs, we can catch up some other time, son.
Yeah.
If he was still with the Lakers, he'd be like, got a chance at a ring here.
As John points out, this was maybe some of the calculations that Trevor Ariza was doing. The Trailblazers 3.5 back of the Grizzlies, tied with two other teams for that ninth and final spot. Now, if you're within 4 games, you get to go into the play-in with the 8th seed. They get Nurkic back. It looks like they're going to get him back, and they're also going to get back Zach Collins. So they may be the most talented team of the four competing for that 8th spot, but then your prize is playing the Lakers in the first round. So Ariza's like, yeah, forget about it.
If you don't need, I know it's a ton of money, but if Trevor Ariza has a bunch of money and he's very, very financially secure, that may not factor in over spending some time with his boy. He's also at an age where he probably has a great appreciation for his son and being with his son and things like that. So I don't, and I know you're not trying to do that. I'm not trying to minimize all that, but look, I do think that there is a world where the thought process might be different if he had a chance to compete for a title. I do think that.
Right. Well, and then another question is how talented an athlete is the kid? You know, can he use dad's guidance here? You know what I'm saying? You know what? Will he make up that $1.8 million someday?
Because his kid is now playing in the NBA or whatever sport he plays?
Is good enough to be playing, yeah.
So you think Trevor's looking at this as a long-term investment?
Yeah, maybe. Hmm. Maybe. You don't know.
You know, John, you'd do great on like his or hers or first take. Like if John's like, look, you guys aren't thinking with your galaxy brain. What if Trevor Ariza realizes if he stays in his child's life?
Right.
By the way, what's that term? I've been hearing that a lot now.
Cash and checks.
Galaxies.
It's like when someone has a basic line of thinking, like the normal line of thinking, but someone else with their brain is playing quote unquote chess.
So micro versus macro view.
Or it's just, hey, you are only looking at it straightforward. Okay. I've got all these different strings I'm thinking about, and this is how this could play out.
Okay.
That's kind of what the galaxy brain thing is.
I'm playing chess while y'all are
playing Connect Four or something. Yeah.
Chinese checkers.
Well, I thought that was more complicated than checkers. I don't know. I've never played it. But Trevor Ariza and Davis Bertans are the two guys so far who've announced, or at least it has been announced for them, that they're not playing. Both 9 seeds. Now, Davis Bertans is on the verge of a big time, multi-million dollar deal because he can shoot the rock. He's missing out on a little under $600K. For not playing these final 8 games or so.
He's going to get a big deal.
Yeah.
Plus, he's had a couple of knee injuries already.
2 ACLs.
Yeah.
So he's like, nah, I'm good. I don't want to do this for the Wizards. Why would I do it?
Yeah. Oh, no, come on. Courtney Lee's not playing either, but he's got an injury. I've always liked Courtney Lee. I wonder why, you know, he's been such a journeyman. I've always liked his game.
I
liked him when he was here. Yeah.
But I think he's kind of a tweener in that his game is where he's not really a spot up three and he's not really a dominant, like, jack of all trades, kind of master of none. I don't even know if I call him a jack of all trades, but I always felt like I liked him as a Rocket. I thought Courtney Lee was a guy I really wanted to stick around.
Me too. So that's a little like Brandon Cooks. Why is he moving around so much? I mean, he's the dude. He's good. He's kind of he's a good piece. You know what? Brandon Cooks has got a chance to. I think Brandon Cooks could surprise this year. He shouldn't be surprising at $8 million a year, but I like the addition. I like Brandon Cooks. I like him as a player.
Go ahead.
No, well, we'll see. I mean, if he can bounce back, and I know I don't know. What kind of concussions did he have? I don't know what kind of concussions he had.
They were the mild ones, right?
The good ones, I think.
They're the good concussions.
Apparently, they're not the bad ones.
How many games did he miss, Lance?
I was challenged on that when I brought up concussions. Like, he only missed two games.
Because it happened in the Super Bowl, right?
One of them did, right? One of them did.
One of them was,
his second one happened in the Super Bowl, and then 3-4 happened this year.
Yeah. But they were the mild type because he was able to play.
Well, he only missed one game, which is, that's something. I have to go back and look at. I just don't like when the numbers start getting a little high. And 4 is high. 4 in 2 years is high. I don't care how severe the concussions are. I think he's not the biggest guy in the world. I think that is a concern.
Can I go back to guys sitting out in the NBA? Now, we all, the Bertans and Ariza, ninth seed, so it's like, whatever, we don't care. How high of a seed do you have to be before people are like, man, you're really letting your team down if a guy sits out? If you're like let's use the Rockets. Maybe we don't use Russ and James because they could never live it down. Let's say Eric Gordon's like, you know what? I don't think it's safe. I would rather not. Whatever his reason would be. Is the sixth seed too much in the discussion for people to be like, whatever, okay, we get it, man? Or would he get roasted?
Yeah,
listen, I don't think anyone.
I don't know about roasted, but his teammates are going to go, dude, what up? Let's go.
You do
what
get up? More money if you advance. Playoff shares are real.
That's true. So, like we've kind of, like I said, we push aside Bertans and Reason. They're ninth seeds, whatever. Is it the sixth seed or is it the seventh seed? What type of playoff positioning does it take for people to start questioning? Hey, man, what are you doing? You know you should be playing.
What if they're on the Bucks?
Yeah,
or the Lakers or the Clip.
Oh, that'll be a giant story. If a rotation player decides they don't want to play.
What if it's a star? What if Kawhi says, you know what? I don't think so.
In what may be one of two seasons he plays for the Clippers after what they paid in terms of draft picks and compensation to get him?
Oh, my God. The fans in L.A. will not forget.
Because it's not. Remember, he said, I'm not coming here. At least that was the story, unless you get another star. And they had to give up all they could to get Paul George. If he dips out on a season when they only have two of them guaranteed together.
But do you feel like there is a chance? Like, I would never have said. He is one of the most enigmatic stars that I've ever seen because he feels like Tim Duncan, the way he approaches basketball. I mean, the way he plays, and he's quiet anywhere. He doesn't have the big shoe deal, or he does, but it's not his brand is not a flashy brand whatsoever. But then he let his uncle create this big rift, between Popovich and himself. He was true to his word that he was a Ronin. He was just a guy who was going to come in and get his 1 year with Toronto, and that would be that. Then he kind of gangs up a la LeBron to create a little bit of a super team over there with the Clippers, and that's the way it's done now. I get it. But he doesn't have he's got a little bit of today's player sensitivities, meaning, I don't know, it's weird. He feels like an old school player, but then you look at some of the stuff that happens with him and you wonder if he really has all the old school player sensitivities when the ball is not bouncing on the court. And he does strike me as a guy that I wouldn't be completely shocked if he tried to dip on the season. Although it would run contrary to his competitive nature, because I do feel like that's a very strong thing. That's a real thing. So I don't think it would happen, but if you told me, is this a player that you think it could happen with? I would say, you know what? The odds aren't great, but I would still keep him on the board as potentially being a star player who said, nope, I don't. The health consequences are too great. I'm not going to do it.
Is he? You believe he's the most likely of like the top 20 players to not show up if it came down to it?
Well, I think I think it really does depend on where your level of chance to win a championship ranks. He's won two championships with two different teams. Now, would he like to win three with a third? Who else has done that before in NBA history?
For an action?
Did Shaq?
No, he only did it.
No, just two.
Two.
Three different teams.
Three NBA titles. Champion. Oh, Bob Horry.
Was a star player. Has a star player.
As a star player, yeah.
No.
It's got to be somebody, right? Probably not, because if you're a star player, you don't bounce.
Not usually.
Not
before the last 20 years or so.
846 ESPN 97.5. Talking about my peeps over Chastang again, the commercial Ford truck sales, service, and financing center. They're the leading commercial truck dealership in the Houston area. They specialize in Ford truck upfit solutions. All work truck types. So if you're a business in the Houston, you want the people, and this is what they do too. I mean, and it's the same with you if you're a retail, if you're just, you know, a family. Well, what kind of vehicle do you need? What do you use it for? They're going to go through and what does this fit your eye? Do you like this? Do you need a pickup because you're hauling a lot of stuff? Or this Expedition, I use it. I mean, it's awesome with both seats in the back folding down, and you got plenty of room to carry stuff around, which my wife makes me do all the time. So is what exactly do you need? And then what exactly payments do you have to have? And how long do you want to go with this thing? Because we can go 84 months now, interest-free. We can go 6 months with no payments. How's that? Does that help you at this time in your life right now? Service. It's second to none. We will pick it up. We will fix it. We will sanitize it. We will bring it back to you. That's what we. It's all about service. When you're part of the family, you get the best in service at Chastang Ford. So you're looking for that new or used. You want to buy. You want to lease. Whatever it is, they've got it all at Chastang Ford. They've got new cars in stock too. Not to worry. All at 610. And Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. Two exits east of 59 or ChastangFord.com where you can buy online. Chastang Ford.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Did you see this? SportsCenter just tweeted out a high jumper. The high jumper, did you see him? He's got one leg.
Yeah, I saw it.
The one-legged high jumper.
I think I could go higher if I'm being honest.
Oof,
think I can get up.
Have you seen yourself walk?
Dude.
You guys haven't seen when I'm stretched, though.
you have issues.
Over a curb. He beats you immediately.
He has issues getting up from his chair and walking to turn down the air conditioning.
That's because my hips get a little this.
Oh, you don't think that might affect?
The way I sit with my
Your jumping
feet.
Ability?
Not whenever I've stretched and properly and done some squats.
I don't think you could hit your head on this bar that this kid's jumping over.
Okay. I know he gets it pretty. He gets the old, it's Fosbury flop, right? That's the standard, not the scissor kick over the top. Yeah, he one leg, and he jumps over and does a standard Fosbury flop over the bar. It's pretty impressive. since we're doing that, did you see the police officer who looks a little bit stubby, who's going up against the tall, long cornerback, the kid. It's like, come on. And he tries to press him off the line of scrimmage. The two police officers are there playing football in the park. He gives him a spin move release, the cop does, and then blazes him down the field and burns him. That was the most embarrassing corner play I've ever seen in my life. It's disgusting. Yeah,
that dog had better skills.
Way better skills. Actually tried and competed whenever he got beat. There was some recovery ability. This guy's, for all the long arm, I mean, this guy's a small forward. He is just not a press corner. I was very disappointed with this.
Here's
Rex Chapman has it if you want to go see it. Rex Chapman on Twitter.
The NBA and NBPA, have finalized terms on the revised CBA for the Orlando restart. All items in Saturday's league memo to teams are agreed upon. Transaction window starts at noon. That's good. So basketball is going to be back. And if there is no if there's no baseball, guess what? Basketball going to own America through August, all the way up until the start of the football season. I predict that the football season is going to start late. I think the early games in college football, we'll have to see whether or not preseason games are going to be played. I think the NFL is going to push it back because there are a lot of good signs. Now, they said we're going to have a relapse and all this stuff, everything else. But if it's a mutated strain that lessens, you know, I don't. If it's not nearly as scary.
Tell people where you heard that from. Some Italian told you that in the street the other day.
Not in the streets. It was an article by a guy who actually researches this.
How about we have Dr. Fauci on a mobile at 9 o'clock coming up next?
Okay, coming up next, Dr. Fauci on a mobile. I'm going to ask him about Dr. Bertinelli and what he thought. Okay.
Fauci versus Bertinelli.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's the Italian fight we need.
Yeah, you're damn right it is. And so I'm going to trust in Bertinelli, okay, because he's over there in Italy still.
Oh, now Fauci, he's turning on his boy Fauci.
Yeah, because
Fauci probably
he's on the outs.
But his blood might not be pure. We don't know. I don't know.
What?
He's over here in America.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Purity of blood.
His blood may not
Your Honor.
Be pure.
Your Honor.
I didn't do that.
Witnesses in temporary insanity for my witness, Your Honor. Please. Sequester.
You can't blame me for leading the witness.
I know. Witness is leading himself into a fire.
Yeah. No. We've got to see if he's, I don't know. You know, he could have an Italian dad and a Greek mom, like me. I don't know.
Excuse me, counsel? Does your client know he doesn't have to incriminate himself?
Take the fifth.
I plead the fifth.
Your Honor, permission to approach the bench.
So we'll see. Okay, so we're going to have Dr. Fauci on a mobile coming up next?
Yeah.
Do we know what Dr. Fauci on a mobile is going to sound like? Because I know what Dr. Fauci sounds like. But is Dr. Fauci on a mobile?
He'll sound just like Dr. Fauci. Oh,
okay.
He's going to sound like Dr. Fauci.
You think he's going to sound like Francisco Molinari?
Or someone named Pablo Prigioni.
Yeah.
Hey. The Italian-Argentinian?
Wear your mask. Is he going to say, look at you walking around in no mask? Are you stupid or something? You want to see if you can get the coronavirus from my TT? From your what?
No, Pablo.
What? From your what?
TT.
Oh, TT. What?
From your what?
He said TT.
Keep your hands out of my private place. You own the coronavirus.
Pablo Frigioni calls his private place his TT?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep. It's out there on the internet. It's on Reddit.
Huh. Wow, man.
Your Honor. Your Honor. I'd like to know if the
Your Honor.
NFL approves of TT references.
Your Honor, not strike too. That. I asked to have that stricken. I asked for you to strike that from the record, please.
All right.
That's what we need to do. Strike that from the record. That's my favorite thing. When the jury hears something horrific, they go, move to have that struck from the record.
And then the judge looks at the jury. Pretend like you didn't hear that.
Yeah. You are not to use this in any way, shape, or form whenever making your decision.
So I can't no.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. So,
so I unsee that. Got it.
I don't acknowledge that the man or the woman on trial has killed before. Yeah. Oh, okay. All right.
Your Honor, objection, Your Honor. Relevance?
Well, it is a murder trial.
Feels like it's plenty relevant, sir. Yeah. It's like watching Faces of Death and then trying to go about your life for the rest of your life or getting on a website like Ogrish or one of those horrific sites. Like, oh my God, why did I find this in 2002?
Horrible. No, because that never leaves you. It
no,
never
ever.
Ever.
Ever. There's a video. I don't even know.
856 ESPN 97.5. Dr. Fauci on a mobile joins us next right here. Don't you go anywhere.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.